little bit of Ray. The best bits.
It's Ciara King.
Well done. Was that your Ronnie Drew version?
It was kind of sad, wasn't it? Without JP, I need that harmony.
You do.
I need a short little
it's
man.
Like Beyonce and Kelly without Michelle. Do you know?
That's what it is. Although, in fairness, Beyonce did pretty okay on her own.
She did, didn't she?
In the end, I think of the me and JP dynamic. Mm-hmm. I think JP's going to be the Beyonce. Eventually, he's going to shed me,
okay.
much as Beyonce did the other girls,
and release a country album.
He's going to shed me. release a country album that people would be allergic to. He's going to marry a very, very successful multinational Grammy-winning rapper.
That's a wedding I'd go to.
When JP gets married to an American rapper, several years his senior, that's going to be a great wedding. Ciara King is here. Lovely
hello,
to see you.
Hello.
How are you? Do you want to talk about what we're looking at first, or do you want to talk about Bluey? Because we were. Oh my God, we didn't do our Bluey roll call today. Are you familiar with Booth? You've watched the last Bluey,
so
right?
I know what Bluey is as a concept, and then I watched the 28 minute episode last night, so I could actually talk about it on the radio with you. So yeah, I do know what I'm kind of talking about.
We can talk. Well, okay. So the last episode. Well. I have a feeling this could be the end for Bluey. This could be the last, because it's super long, because usually they're only 8 minutes long, episodes.
Yeah, and this is the fourth season as well.
The end of the third series. And they made an extended episode, and this could be like a swan song, a sort of a goodbye, adios.
To Bluey.
Yeah, this could be the end.
But I've only just discovered it.
Well, I'm jealous. Oh, the fact that the only one you've watched is this last one, because now you have all of the other ones to go back
Amazing.
And watch. And it is so beautiful, so pure, so gorgeous. But what we do is, are you familiar with the Bluey theme tune? At the very beginning, it's like, Mom, Dad. They sing it. Well, you haven't lived, Ciara King.
No, I haven't, obviously not.
Hang on, let me go get the theme tune for you first. All right, okay. You don't mind waiting, do you? I'm just putting your details into the computer here, and we'll see what we can get for you here. One second. All right. This is the intro. This is the theme tune. And they do a little dance. So Mom's doing a little dance. The animated dog that makes human dads feel awful.
Bingo!
Bingo indeed. So what we do most days, if I remember to do it, we do a roll call of listeners shouting their names, and we put it on the Bluey. 0874-100-102 for your WhatsApps this afternoon. And yeah, well, the last episode, The Sign, you watched it.
I did, I watched it. It was 28 minutes long, and changes in the air for all of the Healer family, because a house has been put up for sale and there's also a wedding going on as well.
Mm. And they're, without ruining it.
Yeah.
I was talking about this the other day. The one element of it that is sort of a little bit of a spoiler, and it's the on Monday I was talking about it. I was saying, oh geez, I haven't watched it yet, and then loads of people texted in and said, you will watch this and you will cry.
Yeah,
I was like, oh yeah, I know, that's a given with Bluey, and it's so pure and so perfect, and it captures humanity, though they're dogs.
Which sounds weird, because I read an article and it was like parents are losing their minds over the final episode of Bluey, and I was like, what is wrong with adults? Do you know what I mean?
You don't need to be a parent, though. You really don't.
And then I watched it and I was like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful children's show I've ever seen in my whole entire life. And there's this one particular scene. They go off to look for Bluey's aunt, okay?
Yeah.
And Bluey's aunt is due to get married, and there's big, big news because Bluey gets to sit in the front seat.
Yeah.
And I remember the very first day that I was allowed to sit in the front seat of the car. Mm-hmm. And it was for my Holy Communion. And I was been driven back the road to get a French plait in my hair before I went to the church. And I remember that day distinctly, not my first Holy Communion, not all the money I got, but the fact that I was allowed on that very special day to sit in the front of the car. And I just thought they dealt with it really beautifully in the final episode.
Yeah, it was all gorgeous. I was timing it to see when my first cry would be. At 28 odd minutes. I was 2.5 minutes in.
Okay.
And it was when they're sitting on the floor of the play school and she's just read, the teacher has just read a story. Have a listen.
Why do stories always have happy endings?
Well, I guess because life will give us enough sad ones.
Yeah, like when my guinea pig ran away, my mum's told me he might come back, but he didn't.
Aww. Probably a snake ate him.
My dad doesn't live with my mum and now he's lonely all the time.
Aww. How mum likes your dad.
Can I just say, that's also a really clever and really smart, it's so sharp and so so quick, mm-hmm. because even something that is genuinely heartbreaking about the dad being lonely, they come back in and they rescue it with a little remark of like, oh, there could be love for the dad.
Absolutely.
In this other kid's parent. I think that was so clever the way they did that.
Now he's lonely all the time.
Aww. How mum likes your dad.
My dad is moving us to another city and I'll never see any of you ever again.
What?
They all get up and run over. And because they're all little puppies, they're all owing.
It's very cute. Very, very
That was
cute.
My first cry. And I sure after that, once the floodgates are open, then I
That's
spend
it.
The entire
That's
time.
That's it,
Bluey, the final episode is called The Sign and you can get it on Disney+. Plus.
The movie that everyone's going to be going to see this weekend in the cinema is Abigail.
Abigail?
Mm-hmm.
Abigail? What's Abigail?
Yeah, well, you think you're watching a kind of standard kidnap movie and then it turns into something horrific.
All right, have a listen. This is Abigail. Abigail? Well, Sinead, she's up in Dublin with Abigail.
You all came highly recommended. You know the rules. No real names, no backstories, no cell phones.
So whose kid is she?
A very wealthy man who's about to be $50 million poorer.
I'm here to make sure you're safe.
What's your name? Mine's Abigail.
You can call me Joey.
Do you have any kids?
I have a little boy.
See you in 24 hours.
I pinky promise you, it'll all be over soon.
Joey?
Yeah?
I'm sorry about what's going to happen to you.
Oh, no, Abigail, I can't be taking this.
Yeah.
No, all right.
Yep, so as I said, you think you're watching a standard kidnap movie. You've got Abigail, beautiful ballet-dancing 12-year-old daughter of an underworld boss called Christoph Lazar. And she's kidnapped from her Boston brownstone and bundled into a van by would-be kidnappers. And she's taken away to a mansion for 24 hours. And if the crime goes off as planned, they all walk away with $7 million each in ransom money. But like any kind of good kidnapping movie, it doesn't turn out the way that it's supposed to. But like not in a normal way. Abigail sprouts razory teeth and turns into a feral child.
I hate it when you're babysitting and all of a sudden the child...
They're a vampire.
They burst out with the razor sharp teeth and mm-hmm. turns into a feral child.
So
oh my
she
God.
Goes at the kidnappers one by one. And there's a very Irish element to this whole movie as well because Abigail is played by Alicia Weir and she played Matilda.
Oh yeah,
if you remember
musical.
A couple of years ago, yeah. And I think, now correct me if I'm wrong, but she was recently named in Forbes top 30 under 30 ones to watch. But like she's an incredible young actress. There's no denying
Fantastic,
it.
Fantastic. Yeah.
A lot of this is filmed as well in Glen Maroon House in Dublin. And I think that was previously owned by the Guinness family. So there is a huge Irish element to this. The Los Angeles Times named this movie, they described it as a fanged Home Alone.
All right.
Now, I wouldn't go that far and say that it's a fanged Home Alone. I think that's been very, very generous. But I do think it's very entertaining.
Is it funny?
And I'm also, not that I just watch horror movies in October, but I'm one of those people that's like, I won't eat chocolate for a particular time in the day. So me watching horror movies in April kind of doesn't make sense okay. in my mind, if you know what I'm trying to say. But I'd imagine lots of people go to the cinema to see it. It's very entertaining.
Abigail.
A lot of brilliant one-liners. And just point out the cast as well. Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey. I thought he was going to do greater things, in fairness, when he left.
I think he's, do you know what? I think he's enjoying himself and he's picking roles that he just fancies doing. And everything mm-hmm. he does seems to be different and interesting.
Yeah. Angus Cloud from Euphoria. It appears in this and it was actually his last appearance on screen before he passed away.
I was thinking that when I saw him
yeah.
I was like, is that the guy that died recently? I've already said he was he's one of the from watching the trailer she gets everyone. Abigail up in
Melissa
Dublin.
Barrera is in as well and you know her from the last two Scream movies. The voice there in the promo, she was Joey in the promo.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it in cinemas?
It is in cinemas as of tomorrow and it's been marketed as a remake of Dracula's Daughter and that came out in 1936 and that was Universal Pictures or whatever. So it's kind of, it's got a lot of different horror tropes in it.
Okay.
But
Abigail.
Anyway.
Abigail.
one to watch on a Friday night. Why not?
Up in Abigail's in Dublin. Wait, Sinead, up in Dublin with Abigail. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
This is the... Do you know what I'm talking
I'm
about?
Smiling politely.
Abigail. She's up in... Where's Sinead? She's up in Dublin with Beyonce with Abigail. This is a Wishy Fogarty.
Yes.
On Radio Kerry. This is the pure... Yeah. This is gorgeous. He's sadly no longer with us, but a hugely highly regarded, highly acclaimed sports broadcaster on Radio Kerry in Kerry. And he... There was one night he was, Sinead, his regular sound lady, was off and she was up in Dublin at Beyonce. Who was she at Beyonce with?
Abigail.
And you know what? Every time I read or see the Abigail trailer, because there's
you
loads
think of
Abigail, I'm like, I'm up in Dublin with Abigail.
Kenya's waiting for your call. David is on sound tonight. David is filling in for Sinead. As you know, Sinead is our sound woman here on Telestock, but she's gone to hear Beyonce. Can't even get Beyonce. They're shouting into my ear here. Beyonce. So Sinead has gone to hear Beyonce tonight in Dublin. And next week we'll be finding out from her exactly what it was like. We'll be asking her all about it.
So sweet. He sounds like the type of guy who would get on the queue on Ticketmaster for his daughter and her best friend.
Absolutely.
And he's like, I'll get you the tickets, but I'm not going with you.
Yeah.
You can go up to Dublin with Abigail.
David was on sound tonight because Sinead is away. Where's Sinead tonight?
Sinead's in a concert in Dublin with Abigail.
With Abigail. Who's playing there?
Beyonce is playing.
Who's here?
That's a she.
It's a she, is it? Yeah. Is it a band?
No, she's a female singer.
She's on her own?
She's on her own.
Will there be a crowd at that?
Oh, massive.
Tanya's taking the call. Tanya didn't go, did she?
No, Tanya's below. She's below taking the call.
That's supposed to be Beyonce, is it?
Beyonce.
Oh, I've forgotten about that audio. It is magic.
Up in Dublin with Sinead. Sinead's up in Dublin with Abigail. Abigail in this case. Do you know what? If Abigail or Sinead are listening, we'd love to hear from you. How was Beyonce? And what do you think of Beyonce's pivot into the world of country? Will you be going to see her live? Either Abigail or Sinead. And how was the gig? 0874 100 102. We'd like to hear from you. A shout out to the Radio Kerry Massive. We've only got time for one more. Will we do it now? Yeah, let's do it now. Yeah.
Okay, this is season 2 of Feud, which is created by Ryan Murphy, and it's called Capote versus the Swans.
Feud. What was the first one?
The first one was between, it was brilliant. It was between the actresses Joan Crawford and Bette Davis. That was season 1.
Right.
And season 2 is about the writer Truman Capote and the Swans. And they were the women of high society in New York at the time.
The Swans,
okay. As they were called.
Have a listen, here's a bit of it.
We made New York the capital of the world. The center of everything. Sex. Money. Endless adventure. Truman.
Tell me everything.
Only you can show us these women, Truman. How they really are.
You're looking awfully weathered and fat.
I need too much perfume for a woman with her face.
I don't even care about the money, it's the sex.
Truman, these are people's deepest secrets.
For God's sake, won't you shut up?
Why would you want to hurt them?
Cannot splay these things out.
Ryan Murphy was the Glee guy, wasn't he?
He was Glee. He's American Horror Story. And you know what I was reading actually saying? I didn't realise that Nip Tuck, which I loved back in the day. Did you watch Nip Tuck?
Oh, Nip Tuck, sorry.
Yeah, kind of like a sexier Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, so Ryan Murphy has been around and he's kind of known as the high priest of camp TV. And this is exactly what Truman versus the Swans is. Truman Capote, we know who he is. I mean, probably most famously played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, who won an Oscar, I think, for portraying him. Anyway, it's based on his life. He's riding high in the back of Breakfast at Tiffany's and his book In Cold Blood, and he's the darling of many particular circles in this kind of high society in New York. But then he befriends all of these ladies, but then he betrays them because he wrote a piece for a magazine that reveals a lot of their secrets that are going on in their marriage and going on in their circles. So they literally freeze him out. And the whole series is about, again, the feud between Truman Capote trying to get back in with these women of high society. Naomi Watts is in it. She is absolutely... The cast is unbelievable. Molly Ringwald. Calista Flockhart, who I haven't seen since Ally McBeal days. She's also in it. She's brilliant. She actually plays Jackie O's sister.
Okay. Real high society, yeah.
Absolute high society. Demi Moore makes an appearance, Diane Lane, and Naomi Watts is just brilliant. But Tom Hollander, you'll know him from The White Lotus season 2. Mm-hmm. He's like the weird uncle, let's say.
Okay.
He is the reason that I kept watching this series. He
plays Capote.
Outstanding. outstanding as Truman Capote.
Brilliant.
Like, I feel like he should win all the awards for playing Capote, who isn't that easy to like as a character, but he's just absolutely brilliant in it. And Ryan Murphy, he knows how to dress the cast, he knows how to dress the set, and it's very glamorous, and the music is incredible, and I'd recommend that people watch it.
Give it a go. Well, I'm presuming it's Netflix, or it's one of the streamers.
No, it's not. Right. It came out on Disney Plus on Wednesday.
There it is. Mm-hmm. He did a deal, I remember, with one of the streamers, a big money deal, and it's on Disney Plus. It's out already.
It's out already.
And it's called Capote versus the Feud. Did you do a search for Feud?
Feud, and it's Capote versus the Swans.
Feud. Up in Dublin, what have we got?
Oh, a little bit of Ray. The best bits. Catch Ray Foley from 2 p.m. weekdays on Today FM.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show. Hey!